This is the FCB Radio Network. Real talk worldwide. Online at FCBRadio.com.
If you don't like the way I talk, then why am I on your mind? If you don't like the way I rock, then why are we wasting time? We fight and we argue, you'll still love me blind. If we don't mess this whole thing up, guaranteed I can blow your mind. And tonight I'm alive in a dollar sign. Guaranteed I can blow your mind.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis. I am your host, of course, Kira Davis, and this is the podcast where we take hot topics, hot button issues, and we draw out the talking points on those issues all the way to their logical conclusion. Because I think that when we take time to understand our arguments and more importantly, to understand the other side's arguments, other side in air quotes, whichever side that may be, that helps us nail down what we believe even more. I do believe in finding the middle ground. I believe in finding a place where we can all come to some kind of agreement, even if the agreement is just live and let live. You know, we've got to be able to find that middle ground. I strongly believe in it. I fight for it every day. But it's not just about finding that middle ground. It's also about understanding what the other side is saying and being able to be honest about what they're saying. Because sometimes just knowing how that other side thinks, it helps you clarify your positions. It helps you understand your arguments better. Sometimes it'll change your mind even. Oh my gosh. What? You could even change your mind if you were open to the other side's arguments, at least open to hearing them. So that's what we try to do here on the show. I'm recording today, November 9th, 2020. I'll tell you what, I've got to say this to make sure in case any of my bosses over at Red State are listening. We've been instructed at this point not to refer to Joe Biden as the president-elect. The election has not been called. The media doesn't call the election. I mean, they have, but they don't. It's not been called. There's some legal challenges. So until Trump concedes or until the Electoral College votes, we're not really supposed to say that Biden is the president-elect. For the purposes of today's program, I probably will just use those terms. I think a lot of people have decided that he is. So I just want to let you know, just for the purpose of what the subject is today, I'm going to be coming at this from the angle that Joe Biden is the next president. And then, you know, if by some miracle some of these legal challenges actually work out for Trump, then won't we all just come back and listen to this episode and laugh and laugh and laugh? So either way, it's fine. Just wanted to put that out there so my bosses know. Not that this show has any relevance to them, but just to be on the safe side. Well, I know a lot of you have been looking forward to hearing from me. And last week was a blur, as we all know. And I've been talking about it. I've been chatting. I've been over on my page at Davis Nation on Locals. Now you know why I push so hard for that. Right? Because we see that the media is now retreating to their corners and they're actively, like today, there are a lot of people on the left who are calling for lists. Let's make some lists of people who didn't get on board with against Trump or who didn't get on board against conservatism or who didn't toe the right line. Let's keep some lists. Like, that's scary communist stuff. But I mean, you know, I can make lists too. We can all have lists. But seeing the idea that, okay, now we've got to double down on demonizing half the country. I mean, no matter what you think about how this election is going, no matter what you think of it, no matter what, if you think that the Biden team stole a lot of votes, it doesn't matter, because regardless of whether or not Trump rightfully won this election and lost because of the stealing, you can't erase nearly like 70 million Biden votes. A lot of people don't like Trump. A lot of people just hated him that much. My husband was saying that. He was like, I don't think people understand how much people hate Trump. So it was closer than Trump would want it to be, or Trump supporters would want it to be. And I think it was closer than a lot of Trump supporters imagined it would be. That part's totally legitimate, no matter what else goes on with this. But that is the thing. I wrote this article the other day called "The Merely the Other Half." I couldn't believe it when I woke up, and my liberal listeners might be among these people, and you might not be. So I don't mean to lump you in, but I saw so many liberals and Democrats like sad on like Friday and Saturday morning. It's like, guys, Joe Biden is winning. By the way, I think that there's a lot of cheating going on. I'm not going to make that a secret. I think that this was Trump's election, to be totally honest. Just want to put that out there so you know where I'll know where I stand. But, you know, I'm looking at the media and people are declaring victory and everyone's so happy. And I'm like, shouldn't you be happy? Why are you sad? They were still mad that half the country voted for Trump. They couldn't believe that half the country was just that racist and that horrible. I guess 2016 was just an anomaly and Russia tricked us all. And now that we're out from under Russia's spell, however that happened, we were just all going to realize that it was a bad dream and cast our votes for liberals and that was it. And my point is that, like, what a grossly naive way to look at things. This country has always been divided. Always. The political tone has changed and the ease with which we insult each other has changed. That social media has changed our interactions. It's made people a lot bolder in being rude. You and I and everybody, we all say things on social media that we would never say to somebody's face. I do it all the time. I do it with celebrities. I try not to now. I'm trying to be better about it because I'm starting to realize the hypocrisy of it. So I'm trying to change it, but I do it all the time. Like, all it takes is for one or two celebrities to tweet you back. And then you're like, oh, shoot. They're people too. And they can see this too. Like, I would never tell Alyssa Milano that she's using too much Botox if I talk to her face. It doesn't matter if I do or not. That's rude. It's rude to remark on a stranger's appearance or an acquaintance's appearance. It's not that much better to do it for people you love, but at least the people you love, you're like, all right, you got my back. But I would never do that. And I'm not one of those people who lies to myself. Like, there's a lot of y'all out there who lie to yourselves and you tell yourselves, oh, I don't say anything on social media. I wouldn't say to a person's face, you're a liar, because you're not a terrible person. There's plenty of stuff you say on social media that you would not say to somebody's face. So this whole social media thing, it's gotten to us all. I get that. But the idea that America's more divided than ever, if anything, this election shows us that no matter how many presidents we go through, no matter how many cultural changes we go through, the division in America never changes. It's 50-50. And then we kind of just depend on each candidate to inspire or depress their base every election cycle. It's 50-50. Don't tell me this country's never been this divided. We killed each other to the tune of 600,000 American lives because we were that divided on one of the most divisive issues in our country's history. I think it's very naive to sit there and say we've never been this divided. Now, there are some things that we've never seen before. Like, we've never seen social media. We've never seen a media collude to demonize half the country the way that the mainstream media has done for the last few years. That I truly believe. But again, that all of that's even related to social media. So I'm not naive enough to believe that the country has never been this divided. I take comfort in that, actually, because I take comfort in this part of the word where it says, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. God has said he's seen it all. It's all happened before. History always repeats itself. We're on a loop. Like, the idea that we can somehow escape the realities of the passage of time is silly. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, your iPhone's new, but the concept of wanting to communicate with people instantaneously isn't new. Quickly, that's not new. It's not new for people to be so terribly divided over politics that they reject their entire families. I mean, you can read Civil War journals and textbooks and biographies and things like that. And you can see, I mean, it's heartbreaking to read some of the letters. Some people, their families had to choose North or South. And it broke entire families. We're not the first people to go through this at all. I don't, by no stretch of the imagination, do I buy this, that we're more divided than ever and we need to be more scared than ever. There are some things that worry me. Now, I don't want to talk too much about the election itself. I do have thoughts. I just told you my opinion, but that's just because I know a few of you are curious. I don't want to drive anyone away from this show who doesn't share my opinion. I do have opinions on the election so far and what we've seen leading up to it. But I'm going to record a bonus JLTY over at Davis Nation. That's where you'll get, that's where you can go find kind of unfiltered, my unfiltered raw thoughts. JLTY actually is not a place for too much partisanship. I mean, I am a conservative. I don't keep that a secret, obviously. Like, I'm editor at large for a blog named Red State. Like, it's right there in the name. It's not a secret. But listen, before we move on, let me just tell you this. I will never leave the public forum. I know that everybody's going to their corners right now because Twitter's being weird and Facebook's being weird. And I've got my place over at Davis Nation, and a lot of conservative content creators are moving over to places like Parler and Rumble and Davis Nation Locals. They can join us at Davis Nation, though. And they're moving over there because they want to make sure that their product is safe. I mean, it is getting scary out there. But I want y'all to know I will never leave the public forum because I actually have no interest in preaching to the choir. Oh, I love that the choir hears what I'm laying down. I love that the choir sings along. Don't get me wrong. Like, you guys, the choir out there, you're the heart of this church. You are. Don't get that wrong. But I'm actually not here to preach to you all. I'm not here to preach to the choir. I'm here to exchange ideas passionately and robustly, and to invite people to do the same. We do not get anywhere close to healing, whatever that means, unless we can competently and graciously argue our positions in the public square. I've got to go where the people who don't think like me are. I can't fully retreat into a conservative space. Don't mind if you do. You do you, you know. But I just want everyone listening, especially my liberal listeners who, you know, don't agree with my politics, but respect the conversations that we're having here. I want you to know I'm not leaving you. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not abandoning you. I am here to influence and I'm here to persuade. And, you know, I challenge you to persuade and influence me too, you know, and let the best voice win. So today I want to talk about, this is free flow today. I've been, you know, the subject doesn't, I'm not doing any research. This is free flow. Again, if you want more partisan Kira, go check me over at redstate.com. The Kira Davis Show is over there on our VIP side, another pay side. And then go over to Davis Nation on locals.com and look me up there. And then I'll actually record right after this. I think I'll record like my feelings about the election so far and all of that. So if you want real partisan Kira, go over there. But that's not what this is today. Today, I do want to talk about how we avoid becoming what we hate. One of the reasons I started this show is because I would look at commentary from mostly like friends and family, not even necessarily like the blue check pundits on Twitter, but my liberal friends, my liberal family. They've all pretty much muted me by now, but I still check up on them because that's how I know what's going on. You know, it's how I know how they're thinking and how they're feeling about politics. And I gauge a lot by that. And it helps me in the job I do. So I would see them post headlines knowing they hadn't read the article. Because I'm in this business too. And I know how we form headlines. And I can tell. Guys, I can tell by what you write if you've read the article. I can tell in the first three words now. It's instinctual now because you realize like, oh, I know how I wrote that headline. The headline was meant to get them to click, but the headline isn't really reflective necessarily of what's in the story. So I would see the stories that they would post and the commentary that they'd post with the stories. And I'd be like, what are you saying? Like, aren't you even listening to yourself? You know, especially when people would say horrible things about Trump voters. And I'm thinking, but you have Trump voters in your family and you love that family. And that family has served you. That family, I happen to know, is paying your phone bill. I happen to know that family took your kid in when you couldn't afford to be a single mom or dad. I happen to know that this family over here, you know, that this part of our family gave you a car when you didn't have anything, gave you a job when you didn't have anything. Like, don't you even hear yourself what you're saying? Just listen to yourself. And I realize, actually, no, a lot of people don't hear what they're saying. A lot of us don't hear ourselves when we're talking. We are headline spitters. We speak in headlines. We speak in tropes. We speak in cliches. We have no idea the actual meaning and the breadth and the scope of what we're saying when we say things like, oh, all Trump supporters are KKK members. Or when we say something like, all Democrats are baby-killing demons. We don't posit that out to its logical conclusion. Well, that means that that's what you think of your sister who, you know, you and her went through the most tragic time of your life together. Or your father who has never stopped being there for you and who has helped tons of people. Like, people aren't listening to themselves. And for the last 4 years, I've been really dismayed. It's again, just to go back to this, is why I started this podcast. I've been so dismayed, not at Trump, not at the Democrats. I mean, I have political opinions on those, but that's not what's concerning to me, because the political wheel goes round and round. It's cyclical. We'll be in another Republican cycle at some point. Like, it's cyclical. I know this. I was concerned about the personal judgments being made and the vitriol being spit, particularly from the left when it came to people on the right voting for Trump. To me, I thought that is exemplary of a mindset that's not curious. We've killed curiosity. So these people, rather than really sitting down and listening to what they're saying, they're just kind of parroting these headlines because they're angry that anyone would vote for this guy, and they don't care. They don't want to know why you would vote for this guy. They know that this guy is bad, and that's that. And that, I think that mindset is dangerous. I still do. I think it's every bit as dangerous on the right. I see conservatives do it all the time. Here's an example. This is a big one. Every like 6 months, some conservative writes a column that is like, Can you be a Christian and be pro-choice? So can you be a Christian and be pro-abortion? And of course, everybody's like, no. Yes, I think you can. I think the idea that somebody is not, like, you're doing the same thing. You're taking the validity of that person's personal relationship with God away from them, of that the life that they've lived. Like, you're making all kinds of judgments on this person, their very eternal soul, based on what they might see as a purely political issue. And I don't see it that way, but I know that you can be a Christian and be pro-choice, because at one time I was a Christian and pro-choice. I was a Bible-thumping Jesus freak. I was a Jesus freak. I didn't drink before I was 21. I'm saving myself for marriage. I was a Jesus freak, the kind of people that get made fun of in Hollywood movies. And I still was pro-choice because I thought that was the compassionate thing. I thought of it in terms of, and you can go back on my abortion. I mean, I did 3 episodes on the abortion issue, guys. So you've got plenty to parse out there. You can go back. I'm not going to relitigate the whole series. But I genuinely believe that that was compassionate. I was thinking about it from a young girl's point of view. I was thinking about it from a friend's point of view who had been raped and went to have an abortion. And I was thinking about it from those points of view, which are legitimate points of view, by the way. I just wasn't thinking about it from the point of view of the baby. It wasn't until, well, I'm not going to rehash this, until I got pregnant, things changed. But I say this to say that I was still a Christian. You can be a Christian and be pro-choice, because you can be a Christian and be wrong. And guess what, y'all Christians? Y'all wrong about a lot of stuff. If you don't think you're wrong about a lot of stuff, then you need to go back to the Word and you need to read it, and then you need to reread it until you realize that you don't know much of anything. We don't. This is the whole point of Jesus. This is the whole point of God, that we were wrong. We were born into wrongness, and he makes us right. So I do believe that it's an abhorrent position to advocate for the killing of an innocent baby in the womb. I do believe that now, but I don't believe that your mortal soul hinges on whether or not you're voting the right way when the choice comes up in our elections or in our political discourse. So long story to say, both sides do this, and you know I'm not a big fan of the both sides thing. Both sides. Sometimes one side's worse than the other. But I am saying that there's no doubt in my mind that this is a problem for all of us, and that's why I want to address it today. There are a lot of Trump voters. By the way, there are a lot of conservative voters out there who are happy that Trump may have lost this election. They're thrilled. So it's not like Trump just had the election completely stolen out from under him. I mean, a lot of people voted against him, including some Republicans. He's a very polarizing figure. That's that. But to get back around to my point, yes, both sides do it, but I've seen it coming so harshly from the left over the last 4 years. It's been distressing. I mean, to the point where we're digging through a guy's tweets to pull one up when he was 16, and therefore disqualifying him from like raising a bunch of money for charity through Budweiser. Like, that is the stuff that disturbs me. That is the stuff that scares me. So when it became apparent that there was a bunch of shenanigans going on last week, and still are, things are still going on, when it became apparent to me that this guy was going to campaign from his basement and win the election anyway, for all kinds of reasons that have not been parsed out yet. I mean, the postmortem on this is going to be years in the making. A lot of conservatives were furious. A lot of us were furious. I saw so many posts from people saying, that's it, I am done. I'm done being nice. I'm done looking for the middle ground. I'm done playing the peacemaker. I'm done sitting back and letting people say all kinds of horrible things. I hate these people. These people are evil. I've heard more than one person on the right liken this to a spiritual battle. It may very well be, but I've heard more than one conservative say, I hate these people. This is evil. These people are evil. And I even found myself talking a little like that. It was like God reminded me. It's like he flicked me in my ear. You know when your mom used to do that when you were a kid and like she couldn't exactly whoop your ass. Maybe you were out somewhere where she couldn't just get to your butt real quick. So she'd flick your ear, which can really hurt. And he said, now you know how the other side's been feeling for 4 years. So see, I was feeling enraged when I realized that there was a lot of irregularities and that some of these counties were probably being stolen. When I was realizing that the mainstream media was going to suppress us in the right-wing media leading up to the election, there was a part of me who felt justified. These people are evil. This is terrible. I frankly don't care if all of these people die. I don't believe that. I do care. I was just mad. I do care. I do care, but that was the point. That was what God was. I felt like God was flicking me in the ear and saying, now you know, this is how people on the other side have felt for 4 years. So now you know why they're so angry and they're so horrible and they're so rude and they're unwilling to listen to any other side. This is how they feel. I think they're wrong. Of course, I think they are wrong for feeling that. But regardless, my point is that flip that. If you're out there on the right now and you're looking at what's happening in the Biden camp and in the Trump camp and you're thinking this is a coordinated massive deception on the American people and I hate everybody who hates me for voting for Trump. I hate everybody who has labeled every Trump supporter a member of the KKK or racist or homophobe or whatever. I hate everyone who lies. I wouldn't care if Joe Biden dropped dead tomorrow. I wouldn't care if Kamala Harris dropped dead tomorrow. In fact, it would be better for us. And I know there's a lot of you out there who wouldn't admit to thinking that, but still have thought that in your heart. Because guess what? This is why I always say, don't follow your heart. The heart is wicked. Of course, a lot of us have had those thoughts cross our mind. They're terrible thoughts. But now you know how the other side thinks. Now you know why they've spent 4 years calling you literally Hitler, calling Trump a guy who had 4 to 8 years at most in office, literally Hitler. Now you know, because they genuinely believed that this was evil that they were seeing. And you, if you support that, you have to be evil.
Did Paul Revere really say the British are coming? And how was George Washington chosen to lead the first American army? Join us for the Growing Patriot Podcast, a place for curious kids to ask the big questions about our nation's history and get kid-friendly answers from the country's top experts. Help your child learn about and cherish America's exceptional history. Subscribe to Growing Patriots on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts today.
It's really important that we don't become the thing we hate. The people, a lot of the people on the left, and I'm not talking about you, good listener, because if you're listening to the sound of my voice, you've already proven that you're willing, you're curious enough at least to, you know, entertain the other side. Maybe it's just all comes out in the wash for you and you're like, yeah, you know, it was interesting. It took up an hour of my time, but I'm not, you know, I'm not about to flip to red here anytime soon. I'm not talking about you. You guys are the smart ones. You guys are the reasonable ones. But I don't think I'm wrong, and I don't think you would deny it either, that there is a large portion of the left who have become what they hate, who became what they hated, which is why I always say I hate those hate has no home here signs, because it's like lies. It probably, if you have to put a sign up, it's probably most prevalent in your home. You know, I mean, nice people don't go around telling people how nice they are. They just are nice. And, you know, people who aren't hateful don't go around telling people how not hateful they are. They just simply live that way. So to me, that sign says, I hate hate. I hate you for hating. I hate the hateful, which is still hate. It's still hate, folks. You can become what you hate. So a lot of those people who are really mad that Clinton didn't win in 2016, that Trump won so decisively, they became what they hated. They thought that Trump represented hate, and then they became that. All right, so let's flip that script. President Biden's on the way. You think he stole the election. You hate what you've seen in the media. You hate what you've seen on the left from left-wing voters being crowing or, you know, being arrogant or whatever about it all. You hate that, right? You need to be careful not to become what you hate. And it is so easy because you feel justified, don't you? I want you to know that this is how the left has been feeling for 4 years. They feel absolutely justified in demonizing all of the rest of us who don't toe that line because they genuinely believe that they are on the side of righteousness. And they genuinely believe that the other side is evil. Now, my next JLTY, I think, is going to be on the part that the media plays in our biases, and we'll break all this down. That's not today's episode, though. So I know I can hear some of you screaming like, that's because the media pits us against you. I got a lot to say about that. I have a lot of thoughts, and I want to invite some of your thoughts on it, actually, in the next episode. But that's not what this episode is about. So stay focused. For whatever part the media plays in it, you got to understand that the other side has been looking at you like this for 4 years, fair or not. Now you know how they feel. And now you know how they could justify all of the horrible things that they say about you and people like you. It felt right to them. It felt like the right thing to do. Let's go back to the Obama administration. Barack Obama and a lot of Obama's supporters spent 8 years, including his supporters in the media, spent 8 years telling half the country that they were racist and they had a long way to go before we could really be considered a successful country. You know, Obama's message, I know he ran on hope and change, but the whole reason we got Trump is If you liked Obama and you were an Obama supporter, everything he said sounded fine. But if you weren't, he was like talking bad about half the country all the time. Those people hated Obama. Those people knew that Obama supporters hated them. And they became what they hated. This is a merry-go-round. This is a cycle. This is why I'm always talking to you guys about grace. And grace is so freaking inconvenient. And it is humbling. You know, and it, you got it. Sometimes grace means you eat some crow. Oh, man, guess who doesn't like eating crow? This one right here, Keira Davis. I don't like being wrong in any respect, not just in politics. Ask my husband. I really don't like being wrong. This is why I'm always telling you that the grace has to start with you. It's never going to start with them. Whoever your them is, it's never going to start with them. And maybe it will. Wouldn't that be surprising? What a nice surprise. But grace has to start with you. Because if you don't start with grace, if you don't lead with grace, you will become what you hate. I am looking at a massive amount of people on the left wing who have become what they hate. They hated that Donald, this is what they think of him, that Donald Trump was a racist. They're racists. They've divided us all up by color and gender, and they've decided which colors are more important and which of us are allowed to express our opinions as people of color and which of us aren't. We had a ballot measure here in California, Prop 16, which tried to strike anti-discrimination laws out of the state constitution. It actually tried to take out equal protection out of the constitution so that they could discriminate, because affirmative action doesn't work against the constitution. It's discriminatory. Whether or not you think that's a good thing or a bad thing, legally it qualifies as discrimination. So it's always going to be unconstitutional. So we actually had a prop on the ballot to get rid of discrimination law. That's a liberal. It's redundant for me to say it was a liberal prop. This is California. You know, it's a supermajority Democrat. So, but yeah, it was a Democrat proposed prop. Now, to my surprise, I did not expect this. We voted that down. I guess maybe more Californians were paying attention than I thought, because it sounded good, like the way they wrote it up and everything. Of course, they write those ballot measures so crazy. And it sounded really good, like to protect gender equality and civil rights, you know, something like that. And it was literally the opposite. So they hate discrimination, and yet they want to codify discrimination. They hate people who judge you based on where you live or how you look. And they judge people based on where they live and how they look. You see, I know that it's so easy to look at this as, and again, please don't think I'm dismissing politics. Go to Davis Nation and I'll give you your political views. I'm trying to get us all to a place of common sense here. You will become what you hate if you focus so much on it. Much of the left became the very thing that they said they hated over the last 4 years. Now people on the right, let's just fantasize for a second that some miracle happens in the courts. Some of these ballots get thrown out and Trump wins the two states he needs to declare this election. Let's just say that. What happens after that? Conservatives, do you start gloating? Do you start being happy? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter if he wins or loses. It doesn't matter who wins or loses. Every election cycle, unfortunately, it is this way, thanks to social media, but every election cycle gives us the opportunity to reject or accept what we hate. But we do not become what we hate. And that is so easy. And I saw it in myself earlier this week. And I know that some of you have seen it in yourselves. And I've been seeing it come from the progressive left for 4 years as well. Again, not my amazing progressive listeners, because you guys, you guys get it. You're like me. You're curious. You might not understand, you know, some of the votes of the other side, but you're not about to set fire to people. And that's all we need. I tell my kids this all the time. My kids, it is clear to me that my kids are probably going to at some point not share my political values. I don't think they even do right now, to be honest. I mean, I think they've been raised in a conservative home, so that's as influential as whatever. That depends on a lot, right? I guess, like, how conservative, how much freedom have we given our kids? Like, who knows? All that's going to come out in the wash. I'm still raising kids, so I have no idea. But I do fully recognize and fully accept that my kids' politics aren't going to line up with mine always, and maybe never. So when it came time to talk to the kids about the election cycle, especially my son, who's voting in his first election. I mean, what an election to be to vote in. He'll never forget this one, will he? Especially when I tell him, it doesn't matter who you vote for. It doesn't matter who you want to win. Like, you're not going to offend me with that information if you want to share it. If you don't, it's yours to keep. It's private. You're not going to offend me. I don't care if you grow up to be a Democrat and want to cast your ballot for all Democrats. What I don't want is for you to judge half the country because they don't vote like you. What I don't want is for you to judge a person's character, judge their value and their worthiness based on whether or not they cast a vote the way you think they should cast a vote. That's all I ask. And I think if we ask that of each other, that's enough. If we could just get to that place where we are not deciding that people are absolutely worthless because of a ballot that they cast, that's winning to me. That's enough. We're nowhere near there. And I'll explain why on the next episode of JLTY, which I think for a lot of people, I probably won't be really sharing anything revelatory, but maybe I'll help you express it. But to me, the biggest victory would be to teach my kids how to not become what they think they hate. To teach my kids how to at least be open-minded and curious enough to make room for the fact that other people aren't going to think the way they think, and that's okay. It doesn't make them evil. It doesn't make them bad. Vote for who you want. And I know it's a lot of, I have a lot of girlfriends. I mean, in my age group, now we're to the age where we're sending our kids out into the world, or supposedly, maybe sometime soon. And they express sadness that their kids kind of, oh, my kid voted for Biden. I just feel like I failed. Or my kid voted for Democrats. I feel like I failed. No, it's not your job to decide how your kid votes. I mean, is that what you are raising your kid to do, to become a conservative voter? Don't be silly. Embrace that. Be happy for your kid. Matter of fact, I mean, we all know the parenting rule, right? As soon as you put your foot down about something, they're going to do the opposite. So don't give them that. Be happy for them that they made a choice. Ask some questions. You guys know I like to do that. Ask questions. Why? Well, why'd you do that? Well, what do you think of this? Well, what about that? But it's not, if they vote for Democrats, they vote for Biden. If you're a Democrat and you're, believe me, my parents are disappointed in my voting habits. You know, if you're a Democrat or a liberal and you raise a kid that ends up voting conservative or voting Republican, don't, you're not raising your kid. I think this is part of our problem too. We're kind of raising our kids as social experiments these days. We're sort of raising them to wrestle something in the future instead of just raising them to be productive members of society and accepting members of society. You shouldn't be scared of your kid voting Republican. Who cares? It's a vote. You should be scared of your kid hating people. You should be scared of your kid being in such a bubble that he doesn't know that this country is filled with millions and millions of people who don't think like him, don't live like him, don't love like him, don't look like him, and yet still all share this great nation we call the United States of America. That's what you should be raising. If you raise your kids to be that person, then their votes won't matter. I mean, they will matter, obviously, in each election cycle. But as far as, you know, who they are as people or their value or what they do for society, it won't matter. There's no way my kids can't vote themselves out of my life. I'm sure they wish they could at one point or another. So this is why I'm always telling you guys, please. Please, I know it's hard, but we have to lead with grace, because I, too, spent a week last week looking at my own demons and looking at my own anger about what I thought, what I saw as unfair, what I saw as injustice, all of those things. I had all those same feelings that you did. I had all those same feelings that you Never Trump folks did. Ooh, I hate this person. Ooh, I wouldn't care if this person dropped dead. That's a dork thing to admit. But I know a lot of you guys look like Miss Sunny, that she's Miss Sunny, which is hilarious because people who know me or who are, you know, very intimate with me on a friendship level, and especially my husband too, like, they know I'm actually a pessimist. My optimism is a response to my pessimism. It's how I've learned to survive. And my husband's taught me a lot about that too. He's very optimistic. He has a very, I mean, he's been through a lot in his life, and so things don't affect him that much because he's just dealt with a lot of very deep tragedy and very tough issues that he's gone through. And so now his whole like perspective has shifted, right? He's like, well, it is what it is. Like, some things are important. So he has a very, and some things aren't, but he has a very optimistic outlook on life. And he's taught me, like, no one likes a pessimist all the time. I have to work really hard to, when he asks me, how was your day? My first response is always negative, always. Oh my God, I had 3 blog posts to write today. And then I had to record 2 podcasts and I didn't get any of the teaching assignments done that I wanted to do with our daughter. And I still have this and my day's going on and it's not going to end till 9. Nobody wants to hear that all the time. I have to make a conscious effort, and I'm not that great at it, but I'm trying, I promise. If my husband's listening to this, I promise I'm trying. I'm just saying it was good. I actually got 3 blog posts done today. I've got a lot of work done today. We didn't get to all the lessons I wanted to get to with our daughter, but I think we can manage them tomorrow. How was your day? My optimism is a direct response to my pessimism. I might sound really sunny on the inside. The glass is always half empty to me. I'm always fighting against that impulse. I'm always working against that impulse. That's why I tell you guys, if you guys go over to Davis Nation, sometimes you'll see me saying, I'll put something, you know, deep and profound on the post of the day. And I'll be like, yeah, this message was just as much for me as it was for you. Half the time on this show, guys, I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to me. I'm convincing myself. And all the time when I make my arguments from a left-wing perspective, I always imagine talking to myself. Always. I always imagine talking to myself when I was, before I decided that I was a conservative, that I was kind of changing my politics. I always imagine what I would have wanted to hear or needed to hear. Basically, I spend a lot of time talking to myself now that I think about it. I think out loud. Yeah, I spend a lot of time talking to myself.
Did Paul Revere really say, "The British are coming"? And how was George Washington chosen to lead the first American army? Join us for the Growing Patriot Podcast, a place for curious kids to ask the big questions about our nation's history and get kid-friendly answers from the country's top experts. Help your child learn about and cherish America's exceptional history. Subscribe to Growing Patriots on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts today.
Anyway, my point is that it feels unfair. Why do I have to be the one to reach out with grace? Why do I have to be the one to try to find this middle ground? Why do I have to be the one to swallow my pride and let the other person have the last word or shut up about what I know is right just so this person will at least sit down at the table with me? Why do I have to be that person? And my only answer is because, A, that other person isn't going to be that person. And B, you have to do that so that you don't become what you hate. If you retreat to your bubbles now, you're gonna become what you hate. Hating is easy. People in Hollywood, they make it seem like love is so easy, right? They tell us this in our romance books too. Like, you just fall in love. It's easy to fall in love. And it is, right? The very descriptor is easy. You fall, you trip, you have no control. It's so easy. No. You know what's easy, guys? Hating. It's so easy. I was going to save it because I'm writing my memoirs right now. And this is a story in one of my chapters. But I'll tell you how I first learned to be scared of hate. And I first, the first moment I realized that I never wanted to be a hateful person and I never wanted to embrace hate. I was 10 years old. As a lot of you know, I suffered a lot of very severe racial abuse in my childhood. Growing up on a small rural island in northeastern Canada, I was completely isolated on my own. And, you know, go back and listen to my N-word episode on how I fared a little bit there. It was a tough go. It was a tough go of it. And I got beat up every day at school, every day on the bus. I know there's a lot of you who are like, why don't you just tell somebody? But you got, I was the only, guys, I was the only black person. There was like, my mom was on my side and that was it. Mostly everybody else was like, well, you know, it's just bullying. You just got to suck it up. It was the 80s too, by the way. So we rode bikes without helmets in the 80s. So there was these two guys on the school bus that used to torture me. They used to sit at the back of the bus where all the cool people sat. And all my friends would sit. And we had a 45-minute bus ride home. We lived in the country. We had a 45-minute bus ride home. And, you know, you do a lot of BSing there at the back of the bus. And the older kids are there. I was about 10. And these two guys who were kind of my regular tormentors, they wanted me to go to the front of the bus, which is an ironic switch of fate, right? They thought I should sit at the front of the bus. And even the bus driver had said, I'm not going to intervene if these guys bully you because you could just move. I know. Listen, you can read about it all in my memoirs. Again, I would like to remind you that this was the 1980s and I was the only black person any of these people had ever seen. There was no civil rights group to go to. There was no NAACP on the island. Like, we didn't have any of that. Nowadays, we would have sued the school district out of existence, but we didn't have that option. I'm fine now, but that was always the bus driver's attitude, right? If they're beating you up and calling you names and calling you the N-word, then you should just move. But I, even at 10 years old, being very stubborn, said, all my friends are back here. The front of the bus is where the babies sit. That's where the kindergartners and first graders sit. I mean, as if. Also, this is my school bus. This is my school and these are my friends. Why do I have to move? Why don't they just stop beating me up? So these guys on this particular day were very vicious and that was making me even more stubborn, right? Like I was sitting there and so finally they started hitting me over the head with books, yelling at me. And one guy, he's sitting behind me and I'm doing my best just to pretend like I don't care. Do what you want. It doesn't bother me. And these guys are like 15, 16 years old. They're nearly adult boys. And one leans in, and this was the first time anyone ever threatened my life. Like, lots of people threatened to beat me up. Lots of people did beat me up. But no one had ever, like, said, I'm going to kill you. And he was like, next time you come back here, I'm going to stab you with my knife. And he showed me his little, like, stupid pocket knife, which would have probably, you know, made a paper cut at worst. But 10 years old, I was terrified, which obviously was the point. He was like, I'm going to kill you. And I got dropped off at my house just a few minutes later. And I ran in. Oh, he said he was going to kill me. And he punched me in the lip. So my lip was swollen. I'm bleeding. I run off the bus. Bus driver ignores everything as usual. It's my fault because I shouldn't have sat at the back of the bus. I should be at the front of the bus with the babies. And I run home. I run into the house and I'm just crying. I can't hold it any longer. I've held it in all day. Usually I didn't cry at school because I just didn't like how it looked. You know, I just had this tough exterior and I did everything I could to hold the tears back. But this day I couldn't. And I'm just sobbing and I run into the house. I'm screaming and sobbing. And my mom runs in. She's, what's going on? Oh my gosh, what happened? She sees my lip and she's like, what happened? And I said, those boys, I know their names. I'm not going to use their names on this podcast. Because I don't know where they are these days. God only knows. They're probably dead. But I was like, those boys, they hit me and they called me names and they said they were going to kill me. And I just hate them so much. I was so mad. I can't explain to you the rage. Before then, it had always been rejection. There was something about the act of this guy actually pulling out his knife and telling me, my 10-year-old self, that he was going to kill me, that It didn't make me feel rejected. It enraged me. It enraged me that I had felt that much fear. And suddenly this lifetime of all this abuse just exploded. And I said, I hate them. I hate them so much. I've never felt that kind of rage, you guys. If I could have, if you could have taken my temperature, it would have said 150 degrees. I mean, it's visceral to me now. I'm feeling it. At 46, I'm feeling that my 10-year-old self just seething with this pure hatred. And I said to my son, my mom, I wish they were standing right in front of me right now, because if I had a knife, I would kill them. I would slit their throats and I would kill them and I wouldn't even care. And to hear, I think it was the look on my mother's face, because she had never seen me talk like this. She had never seen me this upset. By this time, usually I hid most of this stuff from her because it's just we were both helpless. So there's not much point in rehashing it. The day-to-day stuff, it never came up. She'd never seen me like this, and she was beside herself. And I think it was her look, like she looked scared, and then she scared me. Like that look scared me. Even at 10 years old, I want you guys to know we weren't Christians. I wasn't a Christian then. I didn't even know there was such a person as Jesus Christ. I thought it was a swear word. We had no basis of faith or even particularly like some kind of moral, like definitive moral ground on these issues. I just knew that what I was feeling was wrong. And I never saw myself as a killer before that moment. And at 10 years old, I realized that I actually did have the potential to kill somebody. And honest to God, if those guys had been standing in front of me and I had had a weapon and no one around to stop me, I would have killed them. And I knew then that I was becoming who they were. At 10 years old, I knew that. And I said to myself, I'm never going to let myself hate like that again. And so I've spent my whole life making sure that I didn't hate like that again. That's why I tell people, I don't like to throw around this word hate. You don't know what it means. You don't know what it means until you've been standing in front of someone and absolutely sure you could murder them with your bare hands and not feel any regret. That's hate. That's scary. That's easy. You know what was hard, you guys? Was to forgive those guys. And I had to. Eventually, those guys didn't. Those guys went on to torment me for years until they got old enough to drop out and become whatever and addicted to whatever drugs they eventually got addicted to. Those guys tortured me for years, and when they were gone, someone replaced them. It wasn't until I got to be about my senior year that I stopped experiencing daily abuse, because by that time, most of my tormentors had moved on from school, and then most of the people that were in school with me had grown up with me, so they were used to me. I was a friend and not an enemy. All that's, I'm giving away my book for free, y'all. Can't be doing this. You got to buy my book. No more kid stories. All that to say that I knew even then how easy it would be to succumb to hatred. And I knew then that I would spend the rest of my life making sure that I didn't hate anybody like that. Now, it took me a few more years. I had to have a personal encounter with our Messiah to understand how to forgive, to understand the importance of setting aside hate and pursuing love and grace, to accept grace. It took a major conversion experience for me to get that. But I remember the day that I started that journey and I was 10 years old. And I said I would never hate anybody like that. And that's why I just beg you. I beg you. You have to start with grace. You have to. Now, this does not mean, listen, this does not mean that you walk into every trap, that you walk into every argument. You know, this doesn't mean that you go and defiantly take your seat at the back of the bus and dare your bullies to torment you. That's not what I'm saying. Some things you walk away from, I get it. I'm not asking you to be a crusader. I'm not. I'm not asking you to evangelize your political beliefs. I'm not. I'm not asking you to tolerate people judging you harshly and spitting in your face and hurting you. I'm not asking you that. I'm asking if you're in a situation where you've got the opportunity to go left or right, up or down, you've got the opportunity to go with grace or go with rejection, please go with grace, because hate is so easy and it is a hop, skip, and a jump to hate. It is up to us to make the effort to not become what we hate. Love is hard. Forgiveness is hard. For me, forgiving those guys, I didn't go and become best friends with them. I don't know what happened to them, and I don't care what happened to them. We're not breaking bread. We're not raising our kids together. I was able to forgive, well, because I'm forgiven. You know the whole spiel, a lot of y'all Christians out there. It's cliche, but it's true. I was able to forgive because I knew what it felt like to feel pure, unadulterated hate. And I was so terrified of the hate that I would rather risk extending forgiveness than becoming the hate I have felt in my heart that day. So my Kira might sound real sunny to you and rosy to you and pie in the sky dreams. And I've got this utopia in my head about how we all get along if we just learn to forgive. Kira Davis has walked this walk. The only reason I can sit here and talk to you like this is because I have been there, because I have seen how hard it is to love when all you want to do is murder. And I don't buy this thing that I would never, I don't buy any of your I would nevers. I would never. Take your I would nevers and shove them right up your ass because they're useless. They're useless. You don't know what you would never do until you're in the situation. I would never hate someone like that. Guess what? I would say that too. I'm sure you could, if you could record every sentence I've uttered, which I guess my phone probably does somewhere, you probably have heard me say all the time, so I would never kill somebody like that. I would never do that. But I know that that's a lie. Yes, I would. I was going to kill those guys. And I was 10. I'm 46 now. You think my feelings have gotten any less polarized? No, when you get older, you really can't deal with people's BS. The idea that I would never be so hateful to hurt somebody, I would never be so hateful to destroy something, I would never be so hateful to reject somebody. Don't believe that lie. You absolutely would be and could be and can be. The day you stop guarding against that is the day you lose that battle. Don't become what you hate. Left, right, conservative, liberal, Biden voter, Trump voter. If you're excited to see if Trump's going to win these legal challenges, or you can't wait for Biden to take office and just squash this Trump movement once and for all, wherever you stand on this issue, please, please know you must not become what you hate. I'm not going to be this person. I'm not going to love these people, right? I don't love those two guys on the bus. I don't love any of my abusers. I'm not going to be their best friends, but I'm going to extend some grace and extend the notion that perhaps I don't know everything about this person's life, what it's made up of, what they go home to, who they go home to, who's hurt them, who's loved them. We don't know enough about each other to be treating each other like this. So I know a lot of you are really disappointed with the results of this election. And you're angry and you feel like there's been a massive conspiracy and you think that Joe Biden has cheated. Again, come join me on Davis Nation. And we have more in-depth conversations on that. I'm not running from how I feel about that, but that's not the point of this episode. I know a lot of you are feeling that way. And I want you to remember that every bad feeling you have and every wish you have that, like, all these voters would drop dead or this politician would drop dead or how these people are evil, that's exactly how never Trump people have been looking at you for 4 years. And you would say that's not fair. And you would say they're wrong. And I'm not making a judgment on the right or the wrong of either position. I'm just telling you that there's two sides of every story. Like now you can see that this is why these people feel so strongly and why they're so terrible about everything. Don't become like that. Don't stop being curious. Don't stop being curious about what the other side believes. Again, I know there's a lot of folks that won't want to engage with you. They've already decided that they hate and they want to be hateful. You know, stay out of their way then. again, I'm not asking you to be the evangelist. I'm actually the evangelist here. I'm not asking you to be the evangelist. I'm not asking you to pretend you don't believe what you believe. That's not what I'm asking. Just be curious enough and gracious enough not to become what you hate. And that is the only way to find success moving forward for your ideas. Your ideas will thrive in a gracious environment. I do believe that. All right. Gone on long enough. I'm sure my daughter's happy because we've blown past PE time, which she hates. So I'm going to go. We're going to go out for a little PE walk. Join me over at Davis Nation. There's not a lot of nations over there. There's only one, and I am the benevolent dictator. DavisNation.locals.com. I also invite you to leave a review for the show. We've got a review goal. Like, once you hit a certain review goal, it kind of like bumps you up in the search statistics. So the more the merrier. Please, if you like anything you've heard, drop me a review. Give me a good rating. It helps so much. You have no idea. I know to you, you play this and you enjoy it or you don't, and that's it. You move on with your day. But for us content creators, it can make all the difference in the world to have like one, every single review means a bump in those ratings. So I can't thank you enough. All of you have taken the time to review. And please, please, if you have a moment, please do that. And also email me. Tell me how you're feeling. Tell me what you're thinking. I know a lot of you are upset. I know a lot of you are feeling a little bit lost. Some of you are gloating. And if you want to, write me and gloat, please gloat away. I welcome it all. I'm not scared of it. KiraDavis422@gmail.com. KiraDavis422@gmail.com. Tell me your thoughts. And I think we'll probably be doing, based on how you guys are feeling, a few listener responses on this topic. Because, as I go to air, none of this is actually officially resolved. So I think we've still got some days of angst ahead of us. But I'll say this before I let you check out. I believe in the strength of the American spirit, and I believe in the voice of the American people. And even when sometimes that voice might be subjected to some shenanigans, to some injustice, even though it might seem like the cards are stacked in one direction or the other, I believe that the voice of the American people is strong enough and will always be strong enough to push through. We saw it in 2008. We saw it in 2016. And believe it or not, this election, we saw it too. Because as I said at the top of the show, it doesn't matter if you and I believe that certain counties have been cheating in order to sway this election. The election was still close. Regardless of the cheating, the election was still close. You know why? Because 140 million Americans had their say. And even the fact that we're so split, I think there's a lot of post-mortem to be done on how polarizing Trump really was and how that affected the difference between 2016 voting and now. That being said, the people have spoken. There's just a few areas in which I don't believe that the voice of the people is being correctly heard or given a chance to be heard. But look at 2016. We had 8 years of Obama and everyone telling us that Obama was the beginning of the end of right-wing America. America had changed. We didn't need those people anymore. That was flyover country. That's rural idiots. America is in left-wing territory forever. And it turned out that a lot of people actually didn't appreciate that, and they didn't appreciate being characterized as other people, demons, or racist simply because they didn't like Obama's policy. They don't like Obamacare, so they're racist. A lot of people didn't like that. Guess what? They made their votes heard in 2016. They made their voices heard in 2016 in an election where it seemed impossible to have your voice heard, where it seemed to already have been decided. America spoke. I feel so strongly in the voice of the American people. I believe that even when it doesn't go the way you want it to, it always speaks. For better or for worse, it all comes out in the wash. Do you guys notice this? Sidebar. Welcome to the wonderful world of Kira's brain. Do you guys notice this? That every podcast I have like a phrase or a term that I like can't let go of? And it's like a tick. Once it's in like my lexicon for the day, I can't get rid of it. Today it was come out in the wash. I notice I do that a lot. I'm helpless to change it. When you talk into a mic for an hour, you take what comes. But yeah, it'll all come out in the wash. So I believe in our voices. I really do. And I do believe that at the end of the day, Americans will have their say. If it's this year, or if it's 2 years from now, if it's in 4 years, and our voices have not stopped because of all this. And I strongly believe in our republic. Still, I still do. I really do. I really, really do. Really. That's probably a sign that I need to get going. All right. Hit me up on the interwebs. I'll talk to you next time here on Just Listen to Yourself.
If you don't like the way I talk, then why am I on your mind? If you don't like the way I rock, then why are we wasting time? We fight and we argue, you'll soon love me blind. If we don't mess this whole thing up, guaranteed I can blow your mind. And tonight I'm alive in a dollar sign, guaranteed I can blow your mind. Tonight I'm alive in a dollar sign, guaranteed I can blow your mind.
The FCB Radio Network. First-class broadcasting worldwide.